I spent the summer submerged. 100-degree weeks forced me into the water. I swam in Lake Erie at Marblehead. The vastness of the Great Lake, the smooth sand under my feet, warm and silken, the gentle waves buoying me erased all worry from my mind, washed me clean of doubt. I found myself swimming in pools, where I created a game called Swim Wrestling with my boyfriend. He has long hair. It flows across his broad shoulders to the middle of his back. I wrap my hand around the ponytail. I see the way it points to the narrowness of his lower back, my favorite part of him. I think about Jane Kenyon's poem, The Shirt, whenever I see that broad back. The shirt touches his neck and smooths over his back. It slides down his sides. It even goes down below his belt, down into his pants. Lucky shirt. When we cling together in water up to our necks, I feel so connected to him and to that moment that nothing else touches me. I don't think about packing up my life and moving to Wyoming. I don't think about all the ways that our romance is impossible. I don't think about mountains or gray trees or the dryness that altitude brings. I float in pools. I float in the lake. I spend several blissful days at Centennial Quarry. The green water, 20 feet deep and murky, warms my body and makes me feel weightless. The water reflects my face as rippled and distorted. There's a version of truth in there someplace, though I struggle to see it. In Wyoming, I look for water and see only mountains. They shelter and trap me. Sophie, Kelly, Becca, and I drive to Saratoga. Becca hopes that the old ads are true and that the hot springs offer a cure for the rheumatism. Becca's whole body aches with arthritis from the moment she wakes up to the moment she drifts into uneasy, fragile sleep. We have lunch in Saratoga at a restaurant where children with impeccable manners seat you and take drink orders. A family place. The patio overlooks the Platte, and I see ducks drift by, their squat, soft-looking bodies reflected as rippling, shifting ciphers. I see my face reflected, and its lack of features and distinction strike me as profoundly true and profoundly disturbing. I soldier on through class, through the new life of a graduate student and teacher, unused to seeing my own confusion reflected back in the faces of 20 students, all young and unformed and free-flowing. I look for water and see mountains. I go on trips to Fort Collins and Centennial and see cows grazing at the water's edge. I see ponds set in vast oceans of prairie grass. I see a little boy fishing with his grandfather by one of those ponds. Whenever I find water, I look for my reflection. I wonder if the unformed, wavering face may be the real one. I wonder when, or even if, I'll ever really know for sure.